I want to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. If you go to Romans and then keep going right, you'll do Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I want to start today at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Halloween is coming. Stores are full of Halloween stuff, and people can dress up like devils, people can dress up like witches, people can dress up like demons. In fact, zombies are very popular this year. All this activity from the satanic kingdom, the occult, and since next Sunday is Reformation Sunday, and it's also the 500th anniversary of the Reformation next Sunday, actually the 31st. I want to do a Reformation message next Sunday. So what I want to do today is talk about Satan this Sunday. So we'll do something negative this Sunday. We'll do something positive next Sunday. So if you leave down, come back next Sunday and I'll lift you back up. How's that? That's a bargain, okay? So 2 Corinthians 2, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Now, he mentions, it's interesting, in this letter, he mentions a letter he wrote before 1 Corinthians. So maybe this is really 3 Corinthians, but we don't have the first one, okay? We have what God wanted us to have when he put the Bible together. But in chapter 2, he's talking about, and I'm going to take the text out of context, okay? The context is that there's someone in the church that's caused a lot of problems, and they've caused a lot of problems to Paul. But Paul says you need to forgive them. There's actually, in the first 11 verses, there's the decision to forgive. And then Paul warns them of the destruction of unforgiveness. And then he gives them a direction. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. And that's the key thought I want to talk about this morning. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, beginning of verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. And there he's talking about the troublemaker or the troublemakers in the church. You forgive them, I'll forgive them too. Verse 10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For I forgave anything to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why? And this is just one little verse in this letter. In this epistle. Verse 11, why do you forgive? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I read this verse about 6 months ago. I've been turning this over in my mind ever since. The devices of Satan. What does he do to wreck people? What does he do to wreck churches? And what does he do to wreck the world? And I want to talk about Satan's devices this morning. Sun Tzu was a famous Chinese general. He lived almost 3,000 years ago. And he wrote a book called The Art of War, How to Fight. And this is what he says about you and your enemies. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, then you will be defeated in every battle. And he wrote that 2,500 years ago. Bobby Welch, a friend of mine, wrote a book 10 years ago. Bobby was a Green Beret in Vietnam. Highly decorated warrior for the United States of America. Bobby was wounded severely. In fact, a bullet went into his side and punched his rib out through the side of his body. He had a hole the size of a fist in his body, bleeding to death. And he laid there on the battlefield and he said, God, if you'll save my life this time, I'll serve you. And immediately after he prayed that, a helicopter appeared and medevaced him to a field hospital. So Bobby went to seminary. I met Bobby right after he graduated from Southwestern Seminary in Nashville. He was serving, but he became pastor of First Baptist Church Daytona Beach, tremendous leader, president of the Florida Baptist Convention, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Bobby Welch. But he wrote about his experience getting on the plane to fly to Vietnam. He was in an airport in Oakland, California. He says, there was this lone soldier that caught my eye. Still inside the hangar on the left side, he faced the opposite direction of our moving line that was getting aboard planes, and the line passed him by. His equipment was not in hand. His shoulders drooped with his arms hanging limply by his side. His head was bowed. His eyes seemed to be looking straight through the concrete floor. I walked over to him. "Soldier, is there something wrong?" I asked, stepping in front of him. There was no snap to attention, no salute, no recruit as he was questioned by an officer. He just slowly lifted his head and said with the same hopeless, defeated tone his entire body was projecting, "Sir, I am not trained for war." As I tried to encourage him, he got on the plane, got in line, got on the plane. He was engulfed by the plane, as all of us were, as we flew off to war. I saw some soldiers killed by the first bullet they ever heard. I've always wondered what happened to this soldier who went to war saying, "I am not trained for war." Victory is practically impossible when the fighter is untrained, unequipped, and unprepared. But you need to know as a Christian that knowing about the world and knowing about the enemy makes all the difference in the world. Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Proverbs 24:5, "A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you shall make your war." And Ecclesiastes 9:18, "Wisdom is better than the weapons of war." And Bobby has written a tremendous book about this. But Satan, Billy Graham, said one time, "Do you believe in the devil? Jesus talked about it. The whole Bible talks about it. I believe he exists, and I believe he tempts me every day of my life. He troubles me at every turn." The Bible teaches the devil is a real person, and that he controls the affairs of this evil world. His great objective is to defeat the will of God and the program of God in the world and in the church and in the individual Christian. So I want to talk about 10 things that are Satan's devices. Number one, Satan corrupts. Good example is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They sold a piece of property and they were going to give it to the church. Now, their sin wasn't that they held back part of it. The sin was that they told the church, "We're giving everything from the sale to the church." And they lied. They held back part of it. Satan corrupts people to not keep their word, to water things down. 2 Corinthians 11:1-3, just a couple of chapters over, it says, 2 Corinthians 11:1-3, "Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, for I am jealous of you." And that is the wrong verse. Wow, okay. "Ooh, I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The devil will corrupt us. For instance, the big thing is the love of God. "So God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son." God loved us and sent his son, 1 John. But what are sins? Sins are corruptions of God's love. What is the sin of gluttony? Loving food too much. What is the sin of pride? Loving yourself too much. What is the sin of greed? Loving money too much. Wow, the sin of pride, loving yourself too much. Anybody know somebody that wish you could buy them for what they think they're worth? Buy them for what they're worth, sell them for what they think they're worth. Yeah. You know anybody that's a legend in their own mind? Yeah. Wow. If I had students here, I'd say, how many of you have ever dated anybody like that? And they'd all raise their hand, you know. That's right, you know. Number one, Satan corrupts. Number two, Satan confuses. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. Wow. Lying, deceit, doctrines of devils. Hebrews 13:9 talks about that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Hebrews is the book that says only men should make coffee. Look at the name of the book. Hebrews. That's right. All right. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing the heart be established with grace. You know, one of the biggest guys on TV today is Joseph Prince. Now, that's not his real name. He's from Indonesia. He has a name about 10 miles long. For American TV, he has an English name, Joseph Prince, and his big message is grace. You're under God's grace. You're forgiven of all your sins, so you can do anything you want to. You're already forgiven. You're living under grace. You don't have to live a good life. You don't have to obey God. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. If you're saved, you're under grace. And that is a perversion of the grace of God. You know, Paul asked the question in Romans, should we sin that grace more abound? And his answer is absolutely not. Now, if you look in some study Bibles, the note there says the force of the Greek here, should we sin that grace should more abound? The force of the Greek is really the answer, hell no. That's in study Bibles. Should we keep on sinning so we can get more grace? No. But there are people that tell you, you can do anything you want to. Christian Science, the Church of Jesus Christ, Scientists, founded by Mary Baker Eddy. She wrote a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She said there's no such thing as sin, so Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. There's no such thing as sickness, it's all in your head, and there's no such thing as death. Of course, in 1909, she thought she was dead, all right? But yeah, there's no such thing as all these things the Bible teach about. In fact, the Trinity is not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is faith, hope, and love. She denies the doctrine of the Trinity. Christian Science. And if you go in downtown Winter Haven, there is a Christian Science reading room downtown in Winter Haven. Satan corrupts, Satan confuses, Satan counterfeits. One of the scariest verses about the devil in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You mean the devil's servants can look like Christian ministers? Yeah. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Wow. Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light. You read about the minister that got in the ministry to do good, and he ended up doing well. Okay. Bank tellers. How do you tell the fake? By handling the real stuff. When they train tellers to get counterfeit money, they can tell it a lot of times by the texture of the paper. How do you tell the false? By handling the true. How do we handle false teachings? By knowing what the Bible really teaches. Paul Little wrote two books, Know What You Believe, and he wrote another book called Know Why You Believe. And that's one of the big problems with Christians today. Oh, I'm saved. I love Jesus, but I don't know anything about doctrine. I'm not into doctrine. Told you about the guy Eileen and I ran into, but it's been a while, so I'm going to repeat myself. Some of you have forgotten anyway, right? What was the sermon on last Sunday? You forgot that already, so let's do this again. We're in this store in Auburndale. And this guy says, oh, where do you go to church? Oh, I go to so-and-so church. Well, what do you believe? Oh, we don't have any doctrine. We just love Jesus. And I said, which one? The Jesus of the New Age movement is a great medium to the spirit world. The Jesus of Mormons is a brother to Satan. The Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses is Michael the Archangel. Which Jesus do you believe in? Because there's 100 Jesuses running around out there. And he got mad at me, but he got the point. I don't have any patience with that, guys. I don't have any patience with ignorant Christians. If you're really saved, you should know what you're saved about and saved to. They do not give a crown in heaven for being ignorant. I'm going to do a sermon on that sometime. Not here, but someone that needs it, all right? There is no crown in heaven by being a Christian ignoramus. We are supposed to know what we believe, and we are supposed to know why we believe it. Satan corrupts, Satan confuses, Satan counterfeits, Satan contradicts. The serpent goes up to Eve. And you know, the problem wasn't the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. And so she says, God told us if we eat of the tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we'll die. And he says, ye shall not die. The devil contradicts the word of God. Oh, but ye shall be as gods. He lied to them. Okay? Yeah, Satan contradicts. Satan compromises. 1 John warns against compromising your beliefs. Well, we can do it this time. One little time won't make a difference. 1 John 2:21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Father, the same hath not the Father. He acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Father and in the Son. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Satan wants us to compromise our beliefs. Well, I know the Bible says this is wrong, but... Well, the Bible says that one day they'll call white black and black white. And they are. You realize I wore this pink shirt this morning so I could explore my feminine side, right? You know, we have people so confused they can't tell which bathroom to use. Well, and it finally happened. This week, a transgender person went into a ladies' room and molested a 10-year-old girl. What did you think was going to happen with men putting on women's clothes and going into women's restrooms? But, oh, I'm confused about what I am. Check yourself out and see what you are. That's pretty plain, all right? That's the world we live in, guys. And besides males and females, there's 30 different categories now. You know that, right? At Hillsborough Community College last week, they had Coming Out Day. And they had this big hallway decorated like a closet. And all the gay students that hadn't told anybody they were gay yet, they had this big ceremony where they walked through this closet door and came out of the closet and told all their friends they were gay. This is a big thing on campus. I didn't go. So now the Gestapo will be after me, all right? You may need bail money someday to get me out of jail. Philippians 1:27, Satan wants us to compromise our lifestyle. Philippians 1:27 says, but let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. Satan corrupts, Satan confuses, Satan counterfeits, Satan contradicts, Satan compromises, Satan crushes. The thief cometh for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Boy, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people that are self-destructive today. Self-destructive with their addictions, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, prescription drug abuse, mental abuse, depression. 1 out of 4 American adults is on an antidepressant. Don't raise your hand, all right? But 1 out of 4 adults is on an antidepressant, okay? And it's going to get worse, because that's the answer modern psychology has, is if you got something wrong with you, we give you a pill. Now, my doctor has told me, because I'm fat, that there's no pill he can give me that can save me for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But apparently there are all kind of pills they can give you to keep you from being depressed, okay? People are so suicidal in their lifestyles. You know, another person that I knew died of cancer this week. Well, you know what? They smoke 4 packs a day. What did they think was going to happen? Okay? You know, people are self-destructive today. Satan crushes. Satan creeps little by little by little. Oh, let's not take a big jump. Let's just compromise a little bit. Let's just change a little bit. Let's just fudge a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. Again, Helen Keller said one time, people that start telling white lies soon go colorblind. But how do you boil a frog? Well, if you throw a frog in boiling water, he'll jump out. What do? You put the frog in a pan of cold water, and he's real happy in the cold water, and you set it on the burner and turn it on low. And as it slowly heats up, it slowly gets hotter, it slowly gets hotter, the frog gets used to it. The frog gets used to it. And he will actually sit in that water till it boils, and he's boiled to death. Little by little, Satan creeps. Now, look back at the world you grew up in. Has it changed any? Yeah, this is not the America you grew up in. But it didn't change like that. It changed a little bit, a little bit, a little bit at a time. A country doesn't die from a blowout. A country dies from a slow leak. Satan creeps. And last of all, Satan compares. Satan wants us to compare ourselves with each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. For they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I have a friend in Sanford named Tom. Tom is 6'6" and weighs 400 pounds. He's a big guy, okay? I love standing next to Tom. He makes me feel dainty, okay? Oh. How do you feel beautiful? Stand next to someone that is uglier than you are, right? How do you feel dainty and skinny? Stand next to someone that's bigger than you are. Let's compare. Oh, I feel inferior. Stop comparing yourself to people that are better. Oh, I feel superior. Stop comparing yourself to people that are lesser. God takes you for you. And we need to have an honest assessment of ourselves. Oh, I'm just going to eat worms and die. Where'd that come from? Eating worms and die? I don't know. Who would eat worms anyway? Except Chinese people. All right. We're not supposed to compare ourselves. You want to feel bad? Look at someone that does it better. You want to feel proud? Look at someone that does it worse. No, compare yourself with yourself and look at what God says you are. Colossians says you are complete in him who is head over all principality and power. This comparing and being inferior and being superior, it's unbiblical. We're not supposed to do that. Satan compares. Satan conspires. Ooh, Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is methodia. So we get the word method. The devil has methods. The devil has plans. The devil has techniques that you may be able to stand against the method, the craft, the deceit of the devil. And the devil fights us. The devil contends. Jude 3. Jude says, I was going to write to you about the common salvation, but something happened. And he says, so I'm going to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We are to contend for the truth. We are to stand for the truth. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Timothy 6:10, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Daniel Webster said, if we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, it will become effaced. If we rear up temples, they will crumble into dust. But if we work upon immortal minds and imbue them with principles, with the just fear of God and the love of our fellow man, we will engrave on those tablets something that will brighten to all eternity. Isaac Watts, the father of English hymns, wrote over 600 hymns. He grew up in a home where his father refused to compromise and use the prayer book of the Church of England. His father lost his church. 2,000 ministers lost their churches in 1662 when they refused to conform to the British Anglican Church Book of Common Prayer. He wrote Joy to the World, The Lord is Come. He wrote I Sing the Mighty Power of God. He wrote Jesus Shall Reign Over All the Earth. He wrote O God, Our Help in Ages Past. He wrote When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. But as he grew up, he saw how his father was persecuted. And he saw how his father stood for the Bible and Bible truth. And watching that, he wrote this poem. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And should I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. That is the hymn in our hymn book. Am I a soldier of the cross? We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And you can see them at work every day in the world. We need to trust, we need to pray, we need to fight, we need to stand. And as Halloween comes along and all these little kids are out here doing trick-or-treat, and we saw one, it wasn't a fall festival sign. One church, oh, let's have a fall festival instead of Halloween. Well, this church decided to call it a faith festival. Because we have faith in Jesus. I thought that was great. Let's do that. We're going to sing an invitation hymn this morning, number 4.